It's derby time. Come on, tell your friends. We'll go to many distant lands with Dan the coach and Jackie the skater. The fun will never end. It's derby time. Welcome to the Power Through the Fourth Whistle Roller Derby Podcast. This is Jackie Bauer. Thank you for joining me today on the path to becoming better athletes, teammates, leaders, and human beings. Hi friends, how are you guys doing today? How are you doing this week? Every week is a little bit different and every week is a little bit the same right now. The song lyric that keeps going through my head is, times may be tough, but not tougher than me. A shout out to King Falls AM musical episode. And that's what's keeping me going right now. That and you know what? This podcast really keeps me going because if my mission is to make sure I'm still putting out a really good episode each week, I can put a lot of energy into making sure that you guys have some entertainment, positivity, uplifting, knowledge, whatever you need right now. That's what I'm trying to do. And I'm trying to do it with the Twitch channel too. If you go to Jackie Bauer TV on Twitch, you can see my schedule. I just switched it to being a little bit later on Friday night because that seemed to be better for more people. So we switched it to 8 p.m. this past week. Last night, we were having way too much fun doing the history of roller derby from the beginning to just before the year 2000. And my gosh, I got two words for you. Alligator pit. I know so much more now than I did before. We had way too much fun just looking at the old footage and talking about what happened. And I'm going to be releasing an edited down YouTube version in a few days. You can watch the whole replay right now on Twitch if you want. It'll be up there for a limited time. And I might make it a podcast bonus episode this week in place of the run back episodes that we had been doing. Because I think you would enjoy it. I think you would enjoy hearing about the history. I'm also going to have a link to the playlist from YouTube of the videos that I looked at and my show notes. Those will be available on Patreon shortly around the time when I'm done editing the video. You understand, I'm still in a iffy brain place day to day. Some days I have headaches, some days I don't. I'm not having a great day today, so I'm not going to be doing video editing today. I'm going to keep it light. Things are going to be all right. But what's really great about the episode we have today on this podcast is I reached out to someone I've always wanted to talk to, someone I've been a big fan of for a long time, and I did go a little fangirl but tried to reel it in. Today, I present to you Lauren Much. First, I'm going to play for you a clip I took from a YouTube video that I found that is just so inspiring, and I think it's going to remind you what you love about roller derby and just keep you going. And then we'll get to talk to Lauren Much.
My name's Lauren Much. I play roller derby for the Rose City Rollers in Portland, Oregon. There is nothing like the feeling of getting on the line at the start of a game. That adrenaline, like nothing matches it. I really feel like I was born for this. People talk about making sacrifices for the things that you love, but that's the thing, it's not a sacrifice because I want to do it. Roller derby is a lifestyle. Once I get to a game, I feel like I already did the work, so now I need to trust myself. This is my home. My teammates inspire me and they push me all the time. My teammates are always giving their 100% at practice, and that keeps everyone accountable. When we come in here, we leave it all on the track. You don't become a world champion overnight.
Joining me today on Power Through the Fourth Whistle Roller Derby podcast is Lauren Much. Lauren, thank you for coming. I'm so excited to have you on the show today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me. I'm excited too.
I would really love to hear about how you got into roller derby and a little bit about your journey to kind of clue everybody in who's listening about what that's been like.
Yeah, for sure. So I have been playing roller derby for almost 13 years now. I started when I was 14. I started playing junior roller derby up in Kitsap County, Washington. I transferred to Rose City in 2012 after playing with a different smaller 18 and up league in Washington. So I've been with Rose City for, it feels like a long time now.
What was the tryout process like back then?
I transferred from a small league that was like 40 people, where it's just kind of like, do you want to learn how to skate? And okay, you're on the team. Rose City is a huge league. Now we have like 500 members.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, and so the process is very different. And I didn't know that back. I mean, I was like 18 or 19 then. So I was just like, okay, I'm here at fresh meat practice. So what's up, guys? And they were like, that's not really what you have to try out. And I was like, what? I just was there. I just showed up. I don't know. I didn't realize. But then I did go through like the process of trying out, which to 18-year-old me felt like I had a million things to do to get on the team, which now looking back, I'm like, it wasn't that bad.
And then you got onto the All-Star team.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. They're my family. They've become my family. And I think it's so easy to fall in love with roller derby when you're a part of something that's bigger than yourself, that pushes you. It's easy to love.
You started out so young, you've been going at it so long, and then you got to be on this high-level team at such a young age too. What's it like you grew up in roller derby. You became an adult in roller derby while you were in roller derby.
That is a different feeling, like turning into an adult with roller derby being like my main thing has been amazing and has taught me so many life skills and how to work with people. But at the same time, it's weird because at some point you kind of wonder, what am I in addition to being a roller derby player, you know? Yeah, I'm figuring that out too.
What's that journey like? You've kind of been defined by the sport of roller derby most of your life.
Yeah. I think it's hard. I could be involved in roller derby forever, but just realistically, you can't play a full contact sport at this level your entire life. I know that. You just can't. And I will play as long as I can. I'll play as long as I'm healthy and as long as I enjoy it. But like, I know that that day's going to come. It just does. And I don't want it to be as scary as it sounds. So yeah, I'm figuring that out. And now that there's this quarantine, this is the time, you know, I can't skate right now. So we're like trying to focus on different aspects of life. And yeah.
It's an interesting time for that like journey of self-discovery and figuring out what you really want in life, because everyone's on pause to a degree. Yeah. So when there isn't derby, what is there? Because derby is kind of this all-encompassing thing that takes up so much of our mental space, what we're thinking about, so much of our time, sometimes a lot of our money. And yeah, now the absence of it, we all feel it really strong.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny too, because that goes for every level of roller derby player, like whether you play at the highest level or whether you just do it for fun in a small league. It's the DIY part of our sport makes it so like it just consumes everyone's time. We're all volunteering, the players themselves, you know, we keep this sport going. And so I think everyone feels that, you know, no matter what level you're on. So I guess what I'm saying is we're more than just skaters, you know?
Yeah. It's a good time to remember that there is life outside of derby, because like you said, we all have something like a shelf life, even though that's a weird way to think of it. And yeah. It doesn't mean we're done. It doesn't mean we're like expired in some weird way. It means we're opening a door to some other type of adventure, and starting to think about that now isn't a terrible idea, just to know what's on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're still going to get to skate after this.
Yes, we
eventually.
Will. It'll be glorious.
Yeah.
What do you do outside of derby? I think I saw recently you are becoming a personal trainer, or have become a personal trainer.
Yeah, so I am doing personal training and like remote coaching, and that's mostly like gym training, off skate stuff. I am a roller derby coach too. Yeah, I don't know. I take a Spanish class. Yeah.
I saw you also did a weightlifting competition. Was that really fun for like a fun cross training going into a different type of sport?
Yeah, last year I competed in weightlifting. I trained in the off season, so I only did this weightlifting program for like a few months. I mean, I had been like practicing weightlifting like in CrossFit, but not like strictly that. So it was just that for like 3 months, and then I competed, and that was super fun. And it's funny because like I thought that it was going to feel so different from roller derby, because it's an individual sport. You're just like alone out there on the platform. You don't have teammates out there with you. But actually, like when it came time to competing, it felt the same as the feelings that I feel like on game day. I was like, oh, I know how to compete. Like that same mental place that I went to, you know, which is what I love about athletes in all different sports, is that we can connect on that same thing, like, and understand each other in that same sort of mental game way in like for all different sports. So I thought that was cool.
Well, speaking about mental game, I'm sure yours has evolved over the years as you've gotten older and matured in the sport of roller derby. What's that journey been like? And like, what have you learned along the way that has become really valuable to you now as a champion?
I think so much, so much. I mean, when you're first learning, obviously you're trying to build up your skills and strength physically for skating. But then at a certain point, it's just like all of this is in your head, you know? I could be training in the gym nonstop, but if my head's not in the right place on game day, it doesn't matter. I've been thinking about doing like a webinar type thing on just mental toughness, because I think now is a good time to do it since we're all at home and we can't skate. So I was like, I should do like a whole thing on mental toughness. Like I could talk about it for a long time. Yeah.
Well, we love talking about that on this podcast. Can you give us a little preview of what that might be like?
Yeah, let's see here. I think just letting yourself be vulnerable is one of the biggest things, and it's way easier said than done and takes a long time to let that happen. Getting out of your comfort zone, practice. A lot of times you're like fighting for your spot on the roster, so you might be afraid to try something new and to mess up. But letting practice be that space where you can mess up, because what other time is there, you know? So that's a big thing for me. And like visualization, and I tried to do some mindful meditation, because, you know, people talk about that all the time. My mindful meditation is like 3 minutes long. That's it.
I can't do it very long either. I always say I'm going to do it, and it's like, yeah, that's about as long as I can go. I'm like, okay, I feel better.
I do like 3 minutes long, and like it's better than nothing. It's a start.
It's always better than nothing.
Yeah.
What sort of things do you think about during your meditation, or do you just concentrate on breathing?
I try to just focus on my breathing, mm-hmm. because my mind will just wander. So that's what they say, right? Just every time your mind wanders, just bring it back to your breath. Mm-hmm. That's what they say. So that's what I try to do. And then like, it's like 2.5 minutes and I'm like, has it been 3 minutes yet?
You want to like peek at your phone timer and
exactly.
Yeah. I've tried to do those things where you let someone else guide you, like on a podcast episode or an app or something. And that's hard too, because then it's somebody else's words in your head and it's its own thing.
Yeah. I've tried that too. I've tried that one that's like a guided sleep meditation, because I have a hard time falling asleep at night. Because, you know, roller derby players, we have late night practices, you know, I'm sure everyone does. So you all know that life.
Yeah, you're all keyed up. do you have trouble sleeping the night before a big game?
Yes, I do. I usually, yeah, I'm just anxious and excited. We usually play tournaments, so I think like by the third day I'm like so wiped out from the other games I'll just pass out by that day.
So your recommendation is play a couple of games first so you don't worry anymore.
Yeah, and then you're like all the nerves are out.
Yeah. One of the things I've noticed is the night before a game I can't stop like visualizing how I want it to go, and that's great. But right before bed, then you can't sleep because you're too excited.
Yeah. I know. That's how I feel about like watching sports documentaries. I can't watch them at night because I get too hyped up.
That used to be my routine. I would watch some inspirational sports movie right like the night before a game and be like, yeah, now I'm going to go do that. But now I'm finding it actually does key me up a bit much at this point in my career. And now I just find some mindless comedy and just turn my brain off.
I think that's great. I think that's great. Just watch The Office over again.
Or yes.
Something. Yeah.
Let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our wonderful sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Stakeswear. Stakes makes contact wear tops, bottoms, and accessories optimized for roller derby target and blocking zones. And hey, they would know, they're roller derby skaters themselves. You'll be able to slay without worrying about impact. Their impact material XRD has the highest impact absorption capability currently available on the market. I once took a monster hit to the sternum and it didn't heal completely for 2 years. The Stakes Pro Top gave me extra protection in the vital areas I needed for my chest so I could keep playing the sport I love. When looking for contact wear, I was worried I'd look bulky, but with Stakes, you get to look great in this cool finish design with low profile, skin-friendly material. Plus, you can smell great because it's treated with Microband antimicrobial protection, which allows for fewer washes. Seriously, I just do a quick rinse in cold water after practice and let it air dry. Use the code POWER4 to get 10% off your first purchase. Visit stakeswear.com or find them on social media at stakeswear. Today's episode is sponsored by Moda Skates. Moda boots are better than the rest for serious performance and serious comfort. The Savage Tech starts with an ultra-lightweight composite sole injected with long fiberglass, enabling much more rigidity than a standard leather sole. This means more direct power transfer with every push in your stride. The FlexFit counters are the first and only counter that adjusts to your foot and eliminates the difficult break-in period. Other boots become softer over time, but then ultimately break down, losing the fit that allows you to perform at your best. These will have the same fit from day 1 to year 20. The Savage Tech external mounting template makes mounting the plate of your choice as easy as 1, 2, 3. Perfection front to back and side to side. You'll also have the ability to change your heel height externally, which can allow for better balance, stability, and maneuverability. The performance-enhanced anatomical footbed disperses that awful pressure that can accrue while skating that causes blisters, calluses, and foot numbness. The barefoot fit lets your toes rest comfortably. Ah, sweet toes, you deserve this. Get motivated with Moda Skates. Use our discount code PT4W at checkout at motaskates.com. MOTASkates.com, code PT4W. This episode is brought to you by Bout Betties, the only roller derby subscription service in the world. They offer a range of levels, so you're sure to find a pack that fits in your budget. So whether you're wanting derby enamel pins, comfy athleisure clothes, or sturdy workout apparel, they have you covered. As for me, I super love the apparel. You may have noticed how often I wear it when I make videos for our Facebook page. The leggings, shorts, and sports bras are amazing. The material is ridiculously silky, smooth, and soft. The first time I pulled on my leggings, I could not stop touching my legs and asking friends to touch my legs so they could feel the magic that is this material. And it's so darn cute. There's mermaids, dinosaurs, cats, and many fun new designs coming your way. Whether you're hitting the track, skate park, gym, or grocery store, you will turn heads and bring joy to those you meet. They offer sizes small through 3X, and leggings are bout tested and derby durable. Subscribe today using our podcast promo code POWER10 for 10% off your first pack at boutbetties.com. It's like derby Christmas every single month, and yes, they do ship internationally. Now, back to our show. What have you been doing to try and keep yourself like sharp or busy or distracted or whatever during this interesting time? Like, what do you do as an unplanned off-season roller derby athlete?
I'm still writing some programming for a few clients, so I can still do that. Try to work out at home or just keep moving every day at least. My teammates are doing a couple workouts a week on Zoom. And I'm reading a little bit, and I'm cooking a lot. And I'm also trying to let myself be more okay with not being productive, because I think, especially like as athletes, we're always like, it's never enough, because you can always keep training, you know? So we always have this mindset, like it's not enough. But I'm trying to like get better at knowing that my productivity is not equal to my worth, and just being okay to just like chill out sometimes.
We're always in such a hurry to get to the next thing. We're always thinking about the next opponent, the next game, the next practice, the next training session. Sometimes we forget how to just sit with ourselves and know when, hey, we can just be okay right now. You did good.
Yeah. And it takes reminders too, because I'll feel like that for one day, but then the next day I'm back to feeling, yeah, like you said. We've been lucky in Portland to have some nice weather lately. So just like going for walks or little outdoor skates outside has been really nice, because it's usually gray here. So luckily it's been nice outside, because that would suck if it was like gray and rainy and you had to stay inside all the time. Where are you at?
In Michigan. Sometimes it's overcast, sometimes it's nice. It's all over the place. We actually had snow this week randomly. I think it's going to melt though.
In April?
Yeah. It happens sometimes. Michigan is weird. Yeah. So how did you score getting a bit of sport court to play around on? That looked really fun. I saw a little video of that.
Yeah. That was just like the old dusty tiles in the back of the hangar that we practice at. So the thought just popped in my head, and I went to our practice space, the hangar, and there's like, I didn't take it off of our track that's laid out. There's just like these dusty tiles in the back that I borrowed them. I'm gonna have to bring them back. Yeah, it's just like a little square, so it's only enough space to do some footwork, but it's better than nothing. And it was nice to have my Halo wheels back on, because the outdoor wheels are so sticky to me. I didn't want to do any like footwork on it, but it was kind of a lot of work to set up that little track just to do that.
How long was that? Like an hour to set it up or more?
It took me almost an hour, but only because the tiles were at each individual square. they weren't like already like chunks like that. So that's why it took me a while. I might put it in Bonnie and OMG's driveway because we're neighbors. We just live like 6 blocks away from each other.
Oh, how nice.
So yeah, so I think I'm going to, because I live in an apartment. So I think I'm going to put those tiles in their driveway and we can stay 6 feet apart from each other.
Just take turns, do some intervals. Like now you can have the sport court.
Exactly.
That's an interesting thing. Bonnie and OMG used to be your opponents and now you're on the same team. What's that been like having that addition to the team?
Well, they've been on the team. This is the third year. No.
It's been a little bit now. Yeah.
Yeah. So they transferred in 2017.
Can't believe it was that long ago.
I know. Weird. It was definitely weird at first. Because, I mean, I knew Bonnie and OMG from being on Team USA, but that was only a short time. It was exciting and great. Eagle was moving and Bonnie was coming. So I was like, okay. I mean, it's just scary because you have somebody who is such a leader of the sport coming into a team that I know that my team, Rose City, and their old team, Gotham, are just very different. And we have different styles and different...
Probably a different culture.
Exactly. Yeah. And so at first you're like, I don't know, but it's been great. And Bonnie is one of our captains now with Alicia. And I just think it took some adjusting, I'm sure, for them too. It felt like weird at first, probably. I definitely feel like they're part of my family now too. So it's really cool.
I think they're having a lot of fun. I don't think I've ever seen Bonnie smile so much while skating.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
She's always been a very serious competitor and I admire that about her so much, but I've really enjoyed seeing her enjoy herself more at this stage in her career.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think it's a good thing too, to just like enjoy it.
So I'm kind of wondering what that whole journey was like with, okay, you had this epic several years of champs. Rose City versus Gotham. Mm-hmm. What was that journey like to go through and live through that? It's kind of roller derby history now.
Just those first few years when we were against Gotham, or then when...
You can tell me as much story as you want. I will listen. I love stories.
Well, I think like that first year, I can only really speak for myself. I felt like...
Well, that's why I'm talking to you. I want to hear about your perspective.
Yeah, totally. So our coach in 2014, that was the first time we made it to the championship game. And our coach that year, Mike Wade, would say things, because we had never made it that far before. And he would, all through the season, say things like, this is a team that can win the Hydra. And like at the beginning of the year, you're like, yeah, okay, whatever. But then we surprised ourselves, like, and I don't know, we just, well, that's how I feel.
It was amazing after like 2013, where you guys didn't make it to champs that year. And it was crazy and unexpected, right?
I know. Man, that's so long ago. But yeah. And
it's just such a big accomplishment to come back the next year like that.
Totally. I think also, it's just funny because I was like, 21 years old that year, that first year in 2014. And then winning in 2015, I'm still sort of new to that whole thing. That was only my second time at champs. And so it's funny, like, how much I've learned since then and thinking, like, we won, but I've just learned and grown so much more since back then. So it's just funny to, like, look back and think about that, you know?
Yeah, I've definitely seen you just evolve so much as a player. Like, for example, one of the things I think you're really good at is you're a very smart player about energy use and time. I can see you always consulting with the bench. Like, what do you want me to do? I've been recycled on this pass. Do you want me to keep pursuing this even though I already have the points? Or would there be a reason you'd want me to call it off? Maybe something to do with the box. Like, you're always checking in and you're not just going to like, throw yourself into a wall willy-nilly and just beat yourself up. You approach things really strategically. And I think that that's really good. You work smarter, not harder. And then you just keep working on becoming a beast so you can also do the harder stuff too.
Exactly. Yeah, I do try to use my energy in a purposeful way as a jammer, because I think a lot of jammers have heard keep moving your feet, keep moving your feet. And we do, but it's kind of like, are you making these moves with a purpose, or are you just moving your feet and wasting energy because you don't want to look like you're standing there? So, I mean, I don't want to look like I'm just standing there either, but like, but yeah, I definitely try to use my energy with a purpose on the track. And I'm always looking back at the bench and what the coach is saying.
I heard in a different interview that you have a tattoo on your finger of something that helps remind you when you do want to move your feet. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah. I have a tattoo on my finger that says spicy. And that came from, honestly, I think like maybe I said this, I don't know when I said this, a long time ago, that my feet felt spicy. I just meant like I felt fast and like light. We just kept saying it. And so now a lot of times when I get stuck on a wall and I haven't made any progress for a while, my teammates from the bench will be like, spicy, much spicy. And then I start moving. So that's what that is.
I do have another question for you about, you're so good at speed. You might be the fastest skater out there. I haven't clocked you myself, but that's what it looks like. How do you develop that fearlessness to just go in so hot, not slowing down, hitting the pack? My coach wanted to know this because he doesn't know how to get players to take that risk and to just go in with the speed, trusting and knowing that they can pull it off. How do you train that and develop it and encourage others in your own coaching?
I think that it has to do with control of your stops and your direction changes and your agility in that way. So like a lot of skaters can just go full blast into a wall, but that's not really, that's the risky part. So it's more like I always say, your speed doesn't do you any good if you can't control it. So many times when we think about agility, we think about quickness, but you have to be able to stop and change direction just as much as you have to accelerate. Trusting your direction changes and your quick stops on your edges, I think, is what gets you there. And it is risky to come in hot like that. So yeah, it takes practice and sort of feeling out like, do I have to let off the gas a little bit after this test run, or like, can I come in hotter? But it does work if you do.
Yeah.
It just works sometimes.
My coach wanted to know, do you practice that fast every time? Do you always go that hard at practice?
Mostly, like, yeah, you have to practice the way you play. So I do try to come in fast during scrimmage and like skills practices. I like to try different things too. You know, I sometimes want to practice coming in and sort of finessing my way a little bit more than just like full blast. Cause especially like at some point last year, I was coming in really hard and then I was having like a lot of neck and back pain. So I was like, I got to cool it for a little bit. So definitely having all the different tools in your pocket is helpful.
Yeah. Especially if you're nursing something and you want to have more options, or if people start actually figuring you out, which I think it's really hard to stop you at speed, but it's always good to have those extra tools, like you said.
Exactly. Because you don't want to just have that one thing.
What type of additional things are you working on? Like, you've got the extra time right now. Is there any type of move that you're kind of like having fun with that you don't normally do?
Like on skates?
Sure.
Not really. I'm just trying to just keep my edge work precise, and I'm working on some turns and like spins a little bit too, but I'm trying to watch footage a little bit. Yeah.
How do you do with watching footage? Are you someone who is more critical watching your own footage, or have you learned how to just kind of take it as it is and make adjustments?
I think both. I think a little bit of both. My team's kind of funny where like when we win a game, we'll be like, oh, we could have done better and we did this and this and this wrong. But when we lose a game, we'll be like, you know, we tried pretty, we did our best. Like, so it's kind of funny that way, but I honestly get distracted really easily watching roller derby games and footage. I have to like rewind a lot because I'm distracted by my phone and whatever in the room. So
it's hard to dial in and see what's going on.
Rewind it a lot. Yeah. Well,
you never know what you'll catch on those additional watches, right?
Exactly.
Well, I think I've probably kept you about the amount of time that I plan to. Is there anything else you wanted to share with the listeners before we go?
I mean, I would just say, just you're not alone, even though you might actually be alone, but we're all in this together. And even if it's hard, like, we'll get through it. And I also wanted to say that I do have plans to host like a little webinar all about mental toughness for skaters, athletes, and jammers, where I can do like a real deep dive on all that good mental game stuff. So yeah, you can keep your eyes out for that one.
Sounds good. Where can people find you on social media and whatnot?
I'm mainly on Instagram at Much Mayhem, and I'm on Twitter a little bit. I'm mainly active on Instagram.
All right. Sounds good. But yeah, longtime Rose City fan, longtime fan of you. I was there in 2015 at Champs, one of the crazy people screaming.
Wasn't it magical?
It was so magical. And the DJ was amazing too. The DJ was good at song selection at the end of the game there.
Yeah. Yep. That was like a movie.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I got fully emotional. I cried a little bit. It was very special.
It was so special. That's cool that you were there.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast. It was really nice talking with you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Some of the takeaways that I'm going to remember from this conversation with Lauren Much were the idea of roller derby defining you and thinking about what you are outside of roller derby as well, especially in her case where she starts in junior derby, grows up in the sport of roller derby, but this can't be your whole life forever. But man, do we get to make some great memories and learn life lessons while we're here. Roller derby is an incredible time in our lives, and we should value it for as long as we all get to have it. But then, know we can do other cool stuff too, later when we're done. Also, I wrote down a quote when I went back through and was doing the audio. It's so easy to fall in love with roller derby when you're part of something bigger than yourself that pushes you. And that was something that Lauren said that really stuck with me, and I liked it a lot. And I hope it sticks with you too. Let's get to our thank yous before I end the episode. First and foremost, of course, thank you so much to our special guest, Lauren Much. It was so good to finally meet you through Zoom. Maybe we can meet in real life someday too. I would love to go to a clinic that you coach. Thank you to all of our patrons on Patreon, especially our top tier patrons, Stevie Kicks, Rachel White, Tara Wiebenson, and the training team at Charlotte Roller Derby. Thank you to those of you who shopped in our Threadless store. This week, it was Kate, who is awesome and has been a longtime fan of the show and really liked the Blockers Aim for the Stars design and got it on a few things along with Giver of Fox. Thanks, Kate, for stopping by. That's so cool. Thanks to Genergy, our transcriber, who makes everyone sound really great in text. And thank you, as always, to everybody who shares the podcast on social media. You guys are really great, or you make Instagram stories. It's the most awesome way to get the word out about the podcast, and I appreciate each and every one of you each week. I don't always say all your names because sometimes privacy settings don't let me see them. Or right now, I'm not positive if the note I keep on my phone is completely up to date, but I do know for sure I want to thank Pucker Punch, Archie Strange 13, Invader Zoom 42, and Windy City Rollers. You guys are awesome. Thank you. And thank you to our sponsors. Really appreciate your support helping us out here on the podcast. That's all for me. I hope you have a really great week. I hope that the weather is really nice where you are and that you get to go outside and enjoy some sunshine. And maybe, just maybe, you find a little space to put your skates on and maybe just do a little footwork. Do a little something. Just do something that makes you feel good this week, all right? And I will be back next week. You can count on it. We have been talking about Derby and sharing Derby thoughts. Pew, pew! Thank you for listening to another episode of Power Through the Fourth Whistle Roller Derby Podcast. I really hope those laser beams of positivity will carry through your day. If you'd like to get in touch, you can find us on Facebook or on Instagram or Twitter at Power Fourth Whistle. That's P-O-W-E-R, the number 4, T-H-W-H-I-S-T-L-E. You can find fun videos of on and off skates training at our YouTube channel, Facebook page, and Instagram. You could also support the podcast on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. The benefits of becoming a patron include fun stuff I can send you, like stickers, buttons, or shirts from our Threadless store. You can get access to our Discord server, bonus content, and free giveaways. Plus, patrons now have access to an ad-free version of the podcast that will download to your favorite podcast app each week, and everyone can access our transcribed episodes at patreon.com/powerforthwhistle. If you like the content we provide and want to support us on this journey, please consider becoming a patron. If you want to expand your derby wardrobe, of course, another way to support the podcast is visiting our store at powerforthwhistle.threadless.com, where you can get our designs on just about any type of apparel or accessory you can dream up. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast anywhere you can. Leaving reviews is still the best way to help this podcast be found and spread those laser beams of positivity to more humans. Plus, it's a way you can give back that is completely free. Open up your Apple Podcast app, punch those stars, and leave me a pew pew!